Hey, everyone.
Hello.
That's all right. Hey, just wanted to say I am excited to be with you tonight. It has been a bit of a long week, and that's all right. That's what happens sometimes, right? And we pray harder, and we expect more from God, and that has been my posture all week and even last night, having to put this message together. But I think God has got something for us today. Yesterday, I was at a wedding. That's what Sandy was mentioning. I was one of those guys who got to officiate a wedding. And I don't know if people are going to keep asking me to officiate weddings. I've knocked over a candelabra once, just about started a place on fire. Yesterday, I was in the middle of my sermon, and all of a sudden, there was a phone ringing. And I was like, man, that's disturbing. And then realized, of course, that it's my phone, right? I had set it in the back of this wee little church we were in, thinking that that would be a good place, but it just echoed loudly. So, yeah, it was added to the wedding. I don't know, maybe it was humor or something, but hopefully they had a good time. It was cool. Tonight, my phone is on silent. It's right there. I can see it. So hopefully that doesn't distract us, and hopefully nothing else does either. As we come to the Word of God, it's exciting to see how He speaks to us. So let's just dive in here tonight. Let's soak in and see what God has got for us. We've been in this hero series. We've talked about great and mighty heroes like Joshua, who's a military commander. We've talked about David facing Goliath, of course. We've talked about John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. We've talked about Stephen and just the Holy Spirit being upon him and how he responded to that. If you were here last week, that's what we spoke about. And tonight, we're talking about Rahab. And again, this is one of those weird heroes, right? The ones that were like, is she a hero? What do we know about her? Who is she, right? And what has she done? I think if you do know the story, then it's obvious that she is a hero. And we're going to see that more and more tonight. There's some things that I picked out as I was kind of reading through this. One of the things that came to me was that Rahab really acknowledges God. And this summer, I've talked to a few of my student leaders, and we've just been talking about our student ministries, our youth group, and how do we measure what's happening there? How do we know if they're moving in a direction towards God? How do we know that their faith is gaining ground, that they're getting stronger? How do we know that their Christianity is better than it was before? So we talked about those things. There's some easy measurements or easy markers that we use in churches, I think. One of them, obviously, for all of us is, are they a Christian or not, right? Are you a Christian or not? Where do we stand before God? Have we made that decision where we've just believed God to be who He says He is, that Jesus is the Son of God, and have we confessed that with our mouth? That's what makes us a Christ follower, and that's a big deal. That really marks a difference in our journey from when God has brought us to life to our death and how we're following Him. That's the first and probably most important thing. Secondly, we see baptism as a spiritual marker, something that we just see in Scripture. Jesus was baptized. It seems like all the early believers were baptized in the book of Acts, and it seems like kind of a second thing, right? Get saved, get baptized. And we believe that in our church, that that's the way life should be if we're following Christ. Then obedience, we should be baptized. Then there's lots of other markers along the way. Spiritual disciplines are huge. How much do you read your Bible? Do you meditate upon it? How often? How do you pray? Who do you pray to? What do you expect to happen when you pray? What do you ask God for? Right? Those things in prayer. Do you Sabbath? What is Sabbath, right? Do you tithe? All these spiritual markers that kind of can show us in a person's lives or even of our own, if we're doing self-reflection, of whether we're paying attention to God or not, or where we're moving, or what's happening. And really, I think we put that all under one category. That's what me and the student leaders were kind of saying, that we could just easily ask the question to find out where people are at, or ask the question of ourselves. And that is, how often do you think about God? And I'm not talking about, you know, just the gray-haired guy that floats on clouds up there, not that kind of, you know, picture of God. But how often are you conscious of God being Lord and King of your life? How often do you make decisions based on that, right? Is that only on Sundays when you're here in church? Is that only monthly? Is that only weekly? Is that daily? How often in a day? Where are you in that stretch? Because I think that does show a lot of our spiritual maturity. And I'm not saying that to guilt us or to make us feel shameful, because we're all on a journey and we're all at different places there. But I think that's where we're trying to get, is a place where we actually acknowledge God more and more. And I think that's what we see out of Rahab tonight. I think that's the reminder that we get. We're going to look at Rahab. She's in Jonah chapter 2. And Jonah, did I just say that? That's awesome. If you can find Rahab there, you'll be doing good works. Joshua chapter 2. So you can turn there in your Bibles. We're going to read that entire chapter. I'm going to set that up for you a little bit, first of all, just to remind us what's happened here. Obviously, we did talk about Joshua. Pastor Sandy spoke about that earlier in the summer, if you were here for that. He talked about the walls of Jericho and this massive fortified city and how Joshua walked in there, obeyed God, marched around that city, and how the walls fell. Amazing stuff. But Rahab's kind of pre-Jericho falling, okay? And even more so before that, we know that the Israelite nation, or the Israelite people, Jews, Hebrews, were under Egypt control, right? They were in Egypt, they were slaves to the Egyptians, and then God provided a leader for them by the name of Moses. And Moses led his people out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea in a massive miracle by God on dry land. They continued to march through the wilderness, and they came to the edge of the promised land. Now, you remember, they did grumble all along the way there, right? They kind of weren't following God like Moses had hoped they would. And when they got to the edge of the promised land, Moses sent out 12 spies and said, "Go check out the promised land. Tell us what it's like. Bring us back a report." They did. They went and checked out all those places, even Jericho. And they came back, and 10 of those spies said, "Man, that land is amazing. Flowing with milk and honey. It's the best land ever. But the people are huge, and their cities are fortified, and there's no way that we will win. In fact, we believe God has brought us out here just to kill us and have us die. We were better off in Egypt." The other two spies, Joshua being one of them and Caleb the other, said the exact same report. But when they got to the end, they said, "We can't wait to see what God's going to do here. We're ready to take over this land." But all the people believed the other 10 spies, the 10 spies that said, "We can't do it." And the people grumbled against God, and God said, "Okay, then you're not getting in the promised land. Your generation will die off. Your kids will be the people who take the promised land on." And that's where we come to this story. Joshua and Caleb, they got to live because they had good reports. And Joshua was made the new leader after Moses passed away. And now he's about to lead the people into the promised land to do what God is asking them to do, to take it over and to live there and flourish. And this is what happens as he gets ready to check it out. This is Joshua chapter 2. This is the word of the Lord for you. "Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim. 'Go look over the land,' he said, 'especially Jericho.' So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, 'Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land.' So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab: 'Bring out the men who came to you and enter your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land.' But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. She said, 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them.' But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, 'I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the 2 kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives,' the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land." So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, "Go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way." Now the men had said to her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father and mother and your brothers and all your family into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear." "Agreed," she said. "Let it be as you say." So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." So that is the story of Rahab and the spies, and Joshua, who's getting ready to lead his military or his whole people into the promised land. And of course, this time the two spies come back and they got good news, right? That God has gone before them, that the people's hearts are melting in fear, and that they will be able to do what God has asked them to do. And as you continue on, if you continue to read Joshua, you will see how this works out and how they are obedient to the Lord and how the Lord provides for them over and over, which is just an awesome story. But back to Rahab. What's the deal with Rahab, right? How come she's a hero? Well, I think because she helps the Israelite people. I think because she pays attention to God. But the question really becomes really obvious, and that is, why? Why does Rahab do these things, right? What is going on with her? We don't know a whole lot about Rahab. We get introduced to her as a prostitute, right? And I'm sure that prostitution in Jericho is just as ugly and looked down upon as it is in other parts of our world, even right here in Calgary right now in these days, right? I don't know that Rahab is one of the, you know, city's best. I don't know if she's popular. I don't know that she has friends. I don't know that she's even got family that love her and care for her. I don't know any of those things. But we can make an assumption that because she's a prostitute, there's probably a lot going on there, right? A lot of hurt, pain, and brokenness. Why do the spies go into Rahab's house and not someone else's? I don't know. Maybe there's easy access. Maybe because she's a prostitute, she's used to having men in the house. Maybe the people around wouldn't be curious or think that was weird. But the question still remains why she allows them to stay. Because you see, the king finds out that they're spies. But even before he sends his men to Rahab, it says that Rahab has already hidden them. That means she already knew the story. She knew they were spies. Why would she act treacherously? Why would she act with treason towards her own king and country, right? Why wouldn't she just turn these guys in? Well, I think the answer is obvious in our passage. If you go back to verse 10 and 11, I think the answer is huge. She's telling the men as she goes up on the roof that she's heard about them, that she's heard about the Israelites. She's heard about all they've done. She says, "We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you." All right, I think there's just a logical answer here to why Rahab housed these spies. I think obviously most of us want to save our own skin. We don't want to be put to death. We won't want to be taken over by some military. If there's a way out, we'll try and find it. I think Rahab is fearful. I think she's telling the truth that their courage has failed, the people around her. And I think she's speaking probably on her own behalf, saying, I'm worried that this is going to get bad, right? This is not weird. I mean, any one of us would be like this. This still happens in our world today. I don't know if you're following news or paying attention to the Middle East, but there is Muslim militants who have just worked their way into the country of Iraq out of Syria and just taking over town and city one by one. And it seems like from the news and the media we hear, they march into town and say, we're the leaders now. And you either obey or you pay the consequences if you try and stand up to them. Iraq is just in chaos right now. More so than that, that's what we get from our local media and from our media that presents this in the papers or anything else. But the other night, on Friday night, I was listening to Focus on the Family, the Christian broadcast, and they're interviewing two Christian pastors from Iraq who are filled with huge fear and sorrow as they explained the devastation that's happening to Christians. That as these Muslims roll into town, they just take over and they just kill and slaughter whoever they choose. And Christians, of course, are their targets. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters. We need to support them in any way we can. They are feeling this military might coming upon them, just as the city of Jericho was about to. But there's a huge difference between the two. And Rahab is aware of that. In Iraq right now, we have wickedness and we have evil happening in a huge way. In this story here in the Bible, we have a loving, gracious God directing his people. And Rahab is aware of that. I think this is a bigger reason than just the fear of military might. I think her reasoning for helping these spies is because of this, what it says at the end of verse 11. She says, "For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and earth below." Right? And she's already made reference to the Lord in another place talking about drying up the Red Sea. There's a difference here. The gods that she has seen before, and I'm sure there's many in that city, these gods or these idols, have never done that for Rahab. They've never come to the rescue. They've never done any of these things. But the God she's hearing about of the Israelite nation, this God dries up the Red Sea. This God provides for just a vagabond bunch of people that they can take over and conquer people. This God is real. And she's about to give her alliance and her allegiance to this God. And that is what makes her a hero. Obedience to the one and only, that acknowledging of God that I've already spoke about tonight. And some of you might think, well, that's a bit of a reach, Blake. You know, just because she says there's a God doesn't mean she put her faith in him. And I'd say, well, we're going to find out in a little bit here that that's exactly what she did. But first of all, I want to make sure that we understand the true picture of what's happening here so that we can identify with this. I think so often for me, as I read Bible stories as a kid or went to Sunday school or even read my Bible through for the first time and stuff, it's easy to look at a story and just think that everything was rosy for these people. I think my early memories of Rahab and learning about her is this, you know, smiling woman in a window with a scarlet cord, right? Just waiting for the Israelites to come save her, and how wonderful that will be. And yet now as I get older and I look at the Bible, I think these people are living the same lives that we have to live. They're enduring and persevering and going through the same hardships and trials. And when they turn to God, it gets even harder, just the way it does for us. I think of Rahab. She's a prostitute. First of all, that's just tough, I assume, right? Second of all, she houses spies and has to turn on her own people. And when we read the rest of the story in Joshua before the fall of Jericho, there's probably a good month or more time before Israel even gets to Jericho. So for that amount of time, she has to keep a secret. I don't know how good you guys are at keeping secrets, but that would be burning within me that I had helped these spies out, right? Not only that, when Israel shows up, then she has to get her family to come into her home, believe her story, and stay put. Now, I don't know how easy that is. Maybe she's tight with her family, but again, that prostitution thing makes me think that might be kind of tough. And then as those walls fall, I can't even imagine the chaos, the turmoil, the sound. and to stay there and trust God that if you just stay in that place, you'll be okay, I think would have been one of the hardest things ever. Even to convince her family, don't go outside, right? This is real life that Rahab is living. Not only that, when the spies come in and get her and her family after it's all over, it says that they take her and put her outside the Israelite camp with her family. You know, she's safe. This is awesome. But then she has to sit and watch the Israelites celebrate their victory, meaning that her people, her life, everything she knows is destroyed and dead. I think all of that would be extremely hard. Yet our Bible leads us to believe that she actually continues to trust and pursue God. And not only that, but our loving, gracious God forgives her for everything she's done as a prostitute and really, truly restores her. How do we know that? Well, look at Matthew chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It's not the most exciting chapter in the Bible you're ever going to read. But it's a genealogy, which means just a list of people in the bloodline from Abraham all the way through to Jesus. And in that list of men and women, fathers of, mothers of, all the way down, going down towards Jesus, we get to verse 5 and we find this guy named Salmon. And it says, Salmon is the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Did you catch that? Rahab the prostitute, married to a guy named Salmon, mother of Boaz. You know, Boaz is the husband of Ruth, and continued on down to Jesus. God restores her so much that she leaves, obviously, the life of prostitution, finds a husband among the Israel or among the Jewish men, and starts her own family. If tonight you're sitting here and you're thinking that God cannot forgive you or that you've gone too far from God, as Pastor Sandy prayed before, let this story be a sign to you that God can restore anything, right? And how awesome that is. How amazing it is that God can do that. Let it be a reminder to us that as we acknowledge God, God becomes so real and so big and so amazing and so helpful. There's more about Rahab actually in the New Testament. If we look at Hebrews chapter 11, which is the faith chapter or the hero hall of fame or whatever you want to call it in the Bible, the writer of Hebrews kind of lists all those Christians, all those men and women who have followed God through all the Bible, through all the centuries, and how they've had so much faith. And you'll find Rahab on that list, commended for her faith in God to do what we've read about tonight. And then you move on. If you want to flip over, you'll come to James, which is the next book in the Bible. And James is the guy who says, hey, we need to have faith in God above all else. And it's not about works getting into heaven or pleasing God. But there should be works and deeds that prove our faith. And we need to act that faith out. And as we see in that list again, in his example of who an example of that is, Rahab is listed there as well. That Rahab's faith was acted out as she helps the spies. This lady Rahab, I think, is a big deal in our Bible. There's other things that we could look at tonight, but we're going to run out of time and I'll call the band up. But I think we can talk about that restoration, that redemption, and think, okay, that's awesome that God did that for Rahab, but that's way back in the Old Testament. Well, yeah, but it points all to Jesus, right? There's a line there where Rahab is talking to the spies, and the spies say, our lives for yours. Isn't that exactly what Jesus did on the cross for us? Gave his life for ours. The scarlet cord that's tied in the window, I don't know where they got a scarlet cord from. I don't know why they had that or why they asked Rahab to put that in the window. But that seems to be that saving symbol. Just like the blood of Jesus Christ that's poured over us and atones for all our sins and makes us complete in that restoration of our relationship with God again. And then last point I just want to make is that she's asked to stay in her house. right? And I think of how hard that would be. But I think we as Christians, as we give our life to the Lord and we know Jesus, we're asked to stay in the confines of this Bible. We're asked to live the way God wants us to. We're asked to live within the rules. And sometimes that's really hard. Sometimes it's so easy to go without, outside those boundaries because we want, to get our own way, or we want pleasure. Sometimes when the walls seem to be crumbling around us, we want out of the confines of God because we don't believe or trust that he can really help us. And we think we need to solve the problem on our own. And yet this story shows us that we need to have faith in God, that we need to acknowledge him, and we need to stay within those confines. As we sing our last song, I'd like you just to remember what God has done for you, for the blessings that he's poured out for you, for the way that he is... You guys are silly tonight. For the way that God has poured into our life. Remember that as we acknowledge God, he gets bigger and better, and that he can restore us just as he did Rahab. And remember always to seek God more. Let's stand and sing together.